Imagine this. It's April 26th, 1986, just past 1:23 a.m. Deep in reactor 4 of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, a small group of engineers are running a system test. Confident in their control of the situation, they override critical safety protocols. The test quickly spirals out of control. Pressure builds, warnings go unheeded. Then the reactor explodes. Radiation floods the sky, lives are lost, whole cities are evacuated. And it all started with a simple fatal belief. We know what you're doing, we are in control.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we unpack the hidden instincts shaping leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and this is episode 2 of our special mini-series on overconfidence, leadership's double-edged sword. Last week, we opened the door with survival of the overconfident, showing how bold self-belief helped our ancestors thrive, but can derail leaders today. If you missed that episode, I encourage you to start there. Today, we explore a specific illusion baked into leadership, overestimating our own control. Also, a quick shout out. This fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences will launch the brand new online Leadership Academy, in which we will offer a course where we dive deep into the biological, psychological, and behavioral economic truths that every modern leader needs to embrace to thrive in today's environment. It's designed to transform your leadership journey. Stay tuned. All right, let's dive in back to Chernobyl. The Chernobyl engineers weren't stupid. They were highly trained professionals. But they fell into a trap as old as our species, the illusion of control. Psychologists describe it as our tendency to overestimate how much influence we have over outcomes. We see patterns where this is actually randomness. We believe our actions are steering the ship, even when we're riding a storm. And leaders? We're the worst offenders. With each success, the voice in our heads get louder. I made that happen. I can make it happen again. Don Moore and Paul Healy, 2008, and again we have the literature in the show notes, defined one phase of overconfidence as overestimation, our belief that we are more capable than we really are. Whether it's overrating our decision-making, underestimating how long a project will take, or believing your startup will beat the odds, overestimation blinds you to reality. The Chernobyl team believed they were running a routine test, but in truth, the test was unstable. The system was unprepared, and the safeguards had been removed in service of ego, deadlines, and confidence. They were chasing control, but reality had other plans. You know, success breeds illusion. And the illusion, or I call it rather delusion, or maybe hallucination, of control is especially seductive after a series of wins. Take the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. British Petrol had drilled dozens of wells successfully. That track record built confidence. Too much of it. Safety measures were skipped, risks were downplayed, warnings were dismissed. And then, one explosion, 11 lives lost, the largest marine oil spill in history. British Petrol's overconfidence costed them billions. And their reputation. This pattern is everywhere. When we lead teams, build companies, or manage large projects, we confuse familiarity with mastery. What makes this so dangerous is that it feels like leadership. Standing tall, making decisions, steering the course. But if that sense of control isn't tethered to the facts and feedback, we're not leading, we're guessing with swagger. Behavioral economist Alan Langer showed that even people randomly pressing buttons in games or throwing dice will behave differently when they feel they own the outcome. They bet more, take more risks, and express more confidence, even when they objectively have no control. Now imagine that bias in the hands of a CEO or a political leader or an operations manager with a tight deadline and no backup plan. Another classic symptom of overestimation is the planning fallacy. The belief that things will go smoother, faster, and cheaper than they actually go. You set the 6-month target. The team nods. You get excited. 12 months later, you're over budget, behind schedule, and firefighting delays you never saw coming. Why? Because we didn't plan based on base rates or prior data. We planned based on our gut, or we looked at the base rates selectively. Psychologists have shown this effect again and again. Daniel Kahneman called it the insight view. And when we focus on our unique project and ignore broader statistics, it's another form of overestimation, and it creeps into leadership all the time. Startups fail not just because the product isn't good, but because founders overestimate demand, timelines, and resources. Projects in large companies collapse because executives believe forecasts more than facts. You want your plan to work. You want to believe it will. And that desire feeds the illusion. Now, if you're nodding your head right now, you're not alone. Every leader has felt this. And that's why we're doing this series. Because in the next episodes, we're going to break this down even further. We look at what happens when we don't just overestimate ourselves, but when we start thinking we're better than others. Or worse, when we're certain we're right. So stay with us, because awareness is the first step in exposing that mammoth, which is always in the room, lurking over all of us. So that's summarized for this week. The illusion of control is a psychological trap where we overestimate our influence. It thrives in leadership, especially after success, from Chernobyl to British Petrol to your next strategic plan. It can strike anywhere. Here's a call to action. This week, take a moment to examine one area where you feel absolutely confident you're in control. Maybe a project, a forecast, or a hiring decision. Then ask yourself, what assumptions am I making? Bring in one person whose job is to poke holes in that plan. Invite challenge, because the more control you think you have, the more important it is to build in friction. Next week in part 3, Pride Before the Fall, we explore overplacement, how leaders convince themselves they are smarter, faster, better, and more visionary than their peers. It's the bias that destroys great companies from within. Trust me, you want to hear this one. Also, don't forget, our online Leadership Academy launches this fall from Mammoth Leadership Sciences. If you want to lead with sharper instincts and smarter strategies, we'll launch an online course you won't want to miss. All right, this was it for today. If you found this valuable, subscribe, rate, and share it with fellow leaders. And of course, check out my book, The Mammoth in the Room, which is a practical roadmap, how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does it in 3 chapters on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.